Introducing the greatest animated series you've never seen, Lightning Dogs. These canine commandos are lost on a post-apocalyptic Earth and battling the forces of the evil Glampire. It's a tribute to the cartoons and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, and Nerdy Show is hell-bent on bringing it to life.
Blocks sold separately.
Join us as we document our quest from the moment lightning struck to every world-building session and beyond, and make our crazy dream a reality. Roll with the pack at lightningdogs.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom. From comics and video games to science and technology, if it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
I'm Boar.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about Ant-Man and the Wasp. We're just going to kick back.
Ant-Man and the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
That's right.
I learned that today.
Did you today?
Someone texted it to me.
Where did you learn that?
During the movie.
Who did that?
Some random Yahoo.
Who is this Yahoo?
Yahoo.
I want to know so I can congratulate them.
A borderline defunct search engine?
It was on Yahoo. That's where I found it.
Oh, okay.
So you're calling me Yahoo now. Cool. Mm-hmm.
That's an insult. They're really just awful at everything, unfortunately. But hey, we're going to talk about that film. First, we're going to talk about it very, very briefly, free of spoilers, and then we're just going to dive in and have a good old time. If you don't give a fuck about what happens in the film, great. Super duper. And of course, we're gonna resurrect one of our favorite segments here on Nerdy Show, which is Brandon takes notes during while watching a film.
Oh, yeah.
In the darkness and attempt to discern what exactly he was talking about.
Well, here's the thing. You, like, for some reason you gave me a pen.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why, and I just had a bunch of napkins on my lap, and that's all I had, so I just wrote shit on.
Why didn't you bring your notebook?
Because I was
You
just
know
like,
that that's standard issue for you to see a movie.
This is a summer flick. When you go to see a summer movie, you're like, fuck it, I'm going to relax, watch
Brandon
the movie.
Summer flicks!
Yeah. If I go see a movie that I think is going to be terrible going into it, or batshit crazy,
why do you think this was going to be terrible?
I didn't.
That's a Brandon hot take.
I said if I go in and think that a movie's going to be terrible, I'll bring like a notepad to take notes on how terrible it is.
Oh, okay. So the notebook is standard issue for bad movies or potentially bad movies.
Yes, and it's
right,
based
the,
off
the notebook
movie,
is a bad movie.
The notebook.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I cried during it, but
this
it's
all makes
a bad
more
movie.
Sense now.
But hey, before we talk
Brandon Summer Flicks. Ow!
Before we talk about the new DJ show, Ant-Man and the Wasp, in the morning.
197 Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Whoa, the Wasp.
What?
Ant-Man, what you?
You're listening to WASP, the Wasp.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. In the morning.
But before we talk about that, I had a problem where midway in the movie I had to pee during like the second act.
Luckily you had those napkins.
And this dude, I was in the bathroom and this dude just peed and peed, and he wasn't doing a normal pee. He was like, ugh. Like, you know when like you I guess he knew I was there, but he's like, ugh, while he was peeing. He's finally done. He leaves the bathroom. I was like, you didn't fucking wash your hands. And I follow that fucker and he goes right back into our movie theater. Opens the door with his fucking dick hand, and I had to go in the other door, and when I touched the other door, I realized every door handle's got a dick hand on it. Every door handle.
All door handles in the world.
The door handles in your house are covered probably in dick hands.
Well, Brandon, I can assure you.
And vagina hands.
And vagina hands. I can assure you that the dicks and vaginas in question are immaculate.
I probably have herpes on my hands from all the dick handles that I've been grabbing.
Well,
unintentionally,
then you wash your hands.
I'm otherwise, just saying,
don't make this a communicable situation.
It's
here.
A cruel world. You can't even go to the movies without touching someone's dick by proxy, and I hate it. Now let's talk about the movie.
Have you ever shook someone's hand, Brandon?
Yeah,
I've got some sour news for you.
There's a reason when you meet someone and they don't purposely shake your hand because they don't know you. It's not because they're rude or socially awkward, it's because you probably have dick on your hand, or they're polite and their hand's covered in dick and they don't want to infest you.
Wouldn't it be a lot cleaner if you just touch dicks? Because, you know, hands, you know, are usually dirty. Hands are dirtier than dicks.
I don't know where those dicks have been.
Because I'd be weirded out if somebody put my hand in their mouth.
So
but the reverse some guy. Is not not as weird.
I mean, it is.
Well, you never been shamooed?
No.
No, really?
I don't even know what that is.
That's where someone pets your tongue.
That's gross.
If you yawn and we had a friend.
Shamu doesn't mind, as far as we know.
If you
I've never seen Blackfish.
If you yawn in front of someone and then like they see it, they can go up real quick and just shove a finger on your tongue. You just like touch your tongue while
that's
you're
gross.
You've been shamooed, dog.
We had a friend who used to do that. He probably had dick hands.
Brandon,
if you're listening to this, Nick.
I assure you, he had dick
you
hands.
You have a case of dick hands and butt finger. Dick hands and butt finger on Ant-Man Wasp.
My argument is that you would have a higher chance of getting a disease that way than you would if somebody teabagged you.
No, yeah, balls seem a little cleaner. Like, they probably smell like an armpit.
So why do you have a problem with this dick hand guy?
Well, because dicks are grosser. Because you're touching, like, you're rubbing up on it, you're touching the head, and your hand's probably covered in
urine. Maybe he didn't pee on his hand.
Maybe he was masturbating, because that's what it sounded like. And now there's jizz on the handle at the Regal Cinema in Winter Park. There's jizz on all the handles.
We need to get some black lights and put this to rest.
No, you don't want to get black lights. You never want to go anywhere.
That would be amazing. It would be like, not unlike descending into the microverse. If we were to actually blacklight a theater there, I would love to do that.
They would never let you. They wouldn't know.
They wouldn't have to know, but you can put a UV light on your keychain these days.
Employees probably masturbate in those theaters on their break. They don't want you to know.
I want to know.
Well, that's gross. There's a reason why people don't want to leave.
But Brandon,
tell me your cinema secrets.
No, sometimes ignorance is power. Sometimes ignorance gives you just enough energy to get up in the morning and not know that bad things are happening constantly. I wish for the day that I could be ignorant. Maybe a lobotomy will help.
Yeah, we'll just stir a little electric wand around your frontal lobe.
Or a nice pick through my eyeball. I hear that works.
Good, yeah. Good technique.
So are we talking about a movie?
Yeah, we're talking about Avengers Infinity War.
Okay. Everyone dies. Spoilers.
Cool. All right, moving on. I liked the first Ant-Man movie. Okay, it was pretty good.
I'd say this one is there have been similar.
Better. I would say this is exactly as good, if not maybe even a little better, but perhaps less genuinely funny. It's a very chuckle-worthy film. Most of the jokes don't land in a kind of way.
They're just like, ah.
Yeah.
Before we talk more about the movie, do you want to just read these random notes on a napkin?
So now, how spoiler-filled are these napkin notes? Because do we need to save it for after the cut?
That's a good question.
No, I mean, here's the thing. You read them. If you think they're spoiler-filled, cut it. But I think you should read them now. I don't think they're spoiler-filled.
I also have a question. When was the last time we did this? Was it the last Planet of the Apes film? Was that the last time we did this?
Well, I remember doing it for King Kong as well.
Yeah, Kong.
Oh, right.
Well, which one was first? No, Planet of the Apes was after that. Much after, right?
Yeah, I wasn't around for Kong.
I think so, yeah.
Exactly.
I don't do this that much. I usually do it for monkey movies because I fucking hate monkeys.
But we missed the Rampage, so here we are at Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I mean, I don't want to see Rampage.
Too late. It's gone from theaters already.
Good, I don't
want to
see it. It's probably covered in dicks. Here, Boar, I've got two napkins for you.
Okay.
Be gentle. Don't get them wet.
Give me the napkins. They're,
if your hands are moist from the Mountain Dew.
Brandon did wipe his dick with those napkins.
Now,
though,
there was a little bit of light next to me on the stairs, so they might be too legible for you.
Okay.
Oh, come on. This is supposed to be the written in the deep darkness of your soul.
Do we want to
talk about each point that you bring up?
No, I think...
You just want to go over what you wrote down.
Just read each one. Just like take a moment.
Okay, sure.
On to the next.
Bomb disarm.
Mm-hmm.
Bomb disarm.
Spoiler.
Card tricks.
Okay.
Pigeon.
There we go.
That was a good part.
Yeah, you pointed out a bird in the movie. Okay.
There's more than one.
Building suitcase objects. Building suitcase objects.
The building suitcase, I feel I have some clarity. It was featured in the trailer.
It was in the first movie, too.
Mm-hmm. What about the objects?
Well, we'll get to that.
Sure.
I don't remember why I wrote that.
Next, we've got...
I think I just wrote objects on a separate
You thing. Gave her wings? Question mark? Also in the trailer?
Yeah, there's a moment in the trailer of Scott being surprised that Hope has wings on her.
Oh, I understand wasp this one.
Suit.
This one makes a lot of sense to me. Destiny character.
Thank you. Yeah, that's
I got
the trailer.
It.
Ah, you're saying that Ghost looks like a character from Destiny.
Who's Ghost?
Exactly. And there's ghosts in Destiny, too.
Really? Well...
They're called ghosts.
They phase in and out of reality.
I've got some news for you. That character was in Marvel Comics, relatively aesthetically in that direction, long before Destiny
I'm just
going to
go ahead and shut you down and say Destiny did it first, okay?
Why is that?
Because.
Destiny didn't do jack shit first.
No, they stole the suit.
What about World of Warcraft Ghost? Wasn't there a character?
StarCraft
Ghosts?
Yeah.
Didn't they look similar?
Yeah.
No, okay. They did not.
Not really, no.
It's like a whole separate game.
They had some helmets.
No, it was a whole separate one-off helmets. Game.
That was never made.
And
yeah,
they go invisible.
Never came out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway, next point.
A bit slow.
Yeah, okay.
Exposition.
Yeah.
Is it the letter X and then the word position?
No.
I don't know how to do shorthand.
No. Oh, okay.
I thought... Agent Wu. Okay. Fun lines.
Like this bit. This bit's doing going over really well. I think this is our best iteration of this
fun
segment.
Fun lines. Okay. FBI dent check shoes. FBI.
Don't check shoes.
Oh, FBI.
This is my summary of the movie.
Don't check shoes.
My spoiler-free summary of the movie.
Okay. Sure,
there's a little box on the right, too, with more points because I couldn't fit anymore.
Douglas, no bueno.
We'll talk more about that.
We'll
elaborate on these.
Okay.
Luis.
I just like that character.
Okay, sure. Tardigrades.
Yeah, that didn't make sense.
They show up everywhere.
Yeah, they're
not that small.
They shouldn't be that small. You can
they're
see
very
with a microscope.
They're popular now. I'd say tardigrades are like the Froyo of sci-fi these days.
Yeah, they're in everything.
But we're talking about spoilers, guys. We're getting into spoilers.
No, we're not. Because
we're not.
This tardigrades were in, they were featured very prominently in Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, that's true.
They were also talked about a lot in the Orville.
Yeah, you know, and the first place where I feel that like this modern genesis of tardigrade inclusion happened actually in Atomic Robo, when they were Brian and Scott were creating some creatures for the center of the Earth in reference to tardigrade as aesthetically for that. You can hear us talk about that in an old episode of Atomic Robo Nuts and Bolts here on the Nerdy Show Network. But that was really like I feel like that was the Tumblr tipping point where tardigrades were getting shared around on the internet, and now we've hit a point of pop culture saturation where it's not over yet. There's going to be many more tardigrades to come.
Okay, I've got more napkin points.
There's only a few.
There's only a couple more, and then we can wrap this up.
Napkins or points?
Point.
There's like 30 now.
There's both. There's both really.
I'm just taking notes.
Okay, here's a couple more points. Hyundai.
Yeah.
Seagulls.
Yeah, that was good. You should close your eyes when he reads these, so you can imagine.
Pokey and the Coconut.
That's not there. I don't remember.
I added that because of the seagulls. And
stop it now. Come on.
They should be getting you interested in the movie, these
and they
bullet
will.
Points.
I'm going to skip over one of them because it's a little too spoilery.
Can we back up to Hyundai?
Yeah.
Were there a lot of Hyundais in this film?
There was one that I was like...
Almost exclusively.
Usually I noticed that kind of thing, but I didn't this time.
There was Mercedes and
yeah,
other
Yeah, there was
cars.
A Mercedes, but there was a lot of Hyundai.
Let's just say there are points where you can choose any single car to drive, like, in the world. You can miniaturize it, you can keep it, you can drive it, and one of them's a fucking Hyundai. And I'm like, you're not. He's got, like, Mercedes.
Ooh, yeah, I got a souped-up Elantra!
Yeah, I was just like, no. No one's like, oh my god, a Hyundai. I'm picking that over, like, the Mercedes.
No, well, Hyundai rhymes with hung guy, so.
Yeah, which, you know, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we will.
Okay, I got a couple more here.
We're almost done, I think.
How she know 30 yes?
Why are you saying it with an accent?
That's not an accent. He's just removing words.
How she know 30 yes?
Yeah. Did
sure.
I not spell out yours? Yeah.
You, no, you didn't. You said YIS 30 yes.
It's dark in a theater, guys. And you know how hard it is to write up on a napkin?
How she know
30
friend.
Years? How she
subatomic
know?
Chew ship work.
I don't know.
Subatomic Hugh Shipwork.
Is that it?
Okay.
That's all I wrote. There's my summary.
Agent
for it.
Wu Show. And then at the end, just the last point, little slow. And that's all, right, all let me have Brandon's notes on Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Honestly,
only one omitted for spoiler reasons.
I only wrote these just so I could remember what to say on the show, but I don't remember why I wrote some of these.
Should we enter into the spoiler zone now?
Now, one thing that...
That totally got you interested in the movie, by the way.
No, one thing that's completely spoiler-free that I was thinking about throughout the entire movie was in regards to Agent Wu, and that is Broom Shakalaka.
Ooh, yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
I was thinking about Broom Shakalaka the entire time.
Can you
Agent
Wu
was on screen?
Well, okay, so too many cooks, fart copter, Broom Shakalaka.
I'm still lost. What does this have to do with Agent Wu? By the way, Agent Wu is a character in this movie. If you don't know. And by the last thing I wrote, that which was like Agent Wu show, is because I want him to get his own show. He's great. But what is this?
He is great, and you should really watch the Broom Shakalaka video.
So this character,
because he's the main character in the Broom Shakalaka video. Well, one of three.
Not the character, but the actor.
The actor
himself.
Yeah.
If I knew his name, I'm sorry. All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Broom Shakalaka is one of the not public service announcements, but the late night programming that Too Many Cooks
infomercials, they were calling them.
And also, if you aren't following us on the socials, you might have missed out on the follow up to Too Many Cooks, Final Deployment 4, with the Homecoming DLC. That's a walkthrough of that, and it's great. It's
I'm going to go ahead and press start and then select here, and you can go ahead and start your walkthrough.
Okay, cool. It's written and directed by Casper Kelly, so you're just going to want to log in to the internet, probably YouTube or whatever whatever you want to log into here, and remember to like and subscribe this podcast. Okay, cool. Thanks. So here's the interesting thing that I haven't quite figured out. So Agent Wu. Is he Jimmy Woo? Did his full name ever get...
I don't think they mentioned it in the movie.
That might be something that maybe there was a name tag that we missed or...
Guys, I'm not a complete Marvel nerd. Is Jimmy Woo a character?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Oh my gosh, okay, so yeah.
I was going to say, like, no, that guy, I know John Woo.
Randall Park, who plays Agent Woo in this film, is playing, of all things, Agent Jimmy Woo, who is a character who's... got his shit together a lot more than he does on the screen.
Well, this is my, you know, this takes place. Well, no, never mind.
He is a old school Marvel character. I mean, big time old school, like 1950s Marvel.
So he was a very racist character, and they've since upgraded him during the 2018 movie.
He was the hero of the espionage series Yellow Claw.
Well, okay, I already, yeah, that's not racist at all.
But. He has evolved into one of like the greatest spy espionage characters in the Marvel canon. I highly recommend Agents of Atlas. It's a great book.
Well, in this movie, he is central character, an FBI agent,
and he is kind of a toolbox.
I like him in this movie.
He's funny, but he's kind of a toolbox.
Yeah, but you know, he's a friendly toolbox.
So overall, I thought it was a solid, fun film. But like the prior Ant-Man, it's like amongst the least essential of the Marvel films. And they don't have to, you know, the whole shared universe thing. You don't have to care about that. It doesn't fucking matter. But
you don't need to see seven other movies. Maybe just one or two.
Maybe just one. it's a science fantasy comedy, and this one I think brought a little bit more of the science fantasy to light. I thought Ghost was a great villain. A cool, phasing, aesthetically dynamic character, a character that I really enjoy from the comics, rendered very well on the screen. And you get just a taste of the microverse, if you're thinking what it is in the comic books, not even remotely that, but
is a lot different than the Teenyverse. Which is a microverse inside of the microverse.
In a martini.
Yes, right. Yeah, much different from that.
They only talked about quantumverse, so I don't know what a microverse is. They changed it to the quantumverse, if that's what you're saying.
Probably, yeah.
So, the movie, it's not the funniest movie. It's not the worst Marvel movie, but it is a Marvel movie.
We're going to get a pull quote on that.
It fits the bill. It's got a standard act one. The act two drags a bit, gets a little boring. Act three picks it back up again. It's not going to be like Thor Ragnarok, where it's just like a thrill ride 24/7. It's not going to be like Infinity War, where you've got some moments like, oh shit. It's an average Marvel movie. That's not bad. Average Marvel movies are better than a lot of other movies.
And the stakes weren't very high ever.
No.
Which is great, because I appreciate
the stakes were huge.
And tiny.
I really appreciate when these films can stand alone and just be good and not have to worry about the larger universe at stake.
Would this work without Paul Rudd?
No, why would you want it to work
without
Paul Rudd?
I'm just saying,
could
this script work with another actor? That's how I'm gauging the level.
Paul Rudd has a gift for combining verbal wit with physical comedy in a subtle way that isn't overplayed. And I enjoy watching him do things on screen, and that's one of the reasons I enjoy these movies at all.
Yeah, so some of the notes I wrote on the napkin, which was like exposition. There's a lot of exposition, and like I said, the Act 2 does that. The Act 2 drags when, you know, I wrote it's a little bit slow. Michael Douglas. Here's the thing. I like Michael Douglas in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
But I feel like, just like in the first Ant-Man movie, I feel like he's the worst actor in the movie. I feel like he's kind of phoning it in a bit, like Paul Rudd I like, and all the other characters, and Hope, and Lewis, and they're all great, but Michael Douglas just sounds like he's just reading from a script, usually scientific technobabble, and it's like, okay, but I don't really buy his performance, and maybe that's just me.
No,
but I think he's just phoning it in a bit. I think he's just like, okay, I'm doing this.
It's weird. It's really weird because also, what, you know, is he an older guy? Sure. But he's not ancient, you know? He's not old. He's playing Hank Pym. Hank Pym, who we know from these films, did some of his own costumed adventuring back in the day. There's no reason that he shouldn't be Ant-Man at different points throughout these films, or shouldn't put on that mantle and do some of this stuff. But he doesn't. He's always, and very happily, relegated to the role of guy with an earpiece. And that's weird and silly, and I don't get the point. Unless, of course, he just doesn't really want to be that involved. Though he is in a lot of the film.
Yeah, he's in most of the film. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I like the movie. Like I said, it's not the best Marvel movie. I was almost falling asleep halfway into the movie.
Really?
I'm not going to lie. But I've also been working all day, so it could be that.
I mean,
I was tired going into the movie.
It didn't lose my interest at any point.
I think the film's biggest crime is that it just isn't funnier. It's a very enjoyable thing to watch if you like the actors and you appreciate the universe and you have fun with Ant-Man. And I have fun with Ant-Man. I think I did actually like... I like this one better than the first one, but not exponentially so.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like the world that it exists in is more fully realized. It had a little bit room to have more fun visually and to do more dynamic things. That happened quite a bit. There was a lot more visual dynamism to this film.
Well, you can do
that.
Yeah,
there wasn't all the like origin story, like, oh, learn how to talk to ants. You know, like he was already with it. You know, like he knew what he was doing. We already knew what was going on. We were able to just jump into an adventure, you know?
Well, yeah, I was going to say it's because they got the origin shit out of the way. They can have a different story and the world is kind of already built. They don't need to spend an hour or an hour and a half.
But the biggest crime is this is like one of two Marvel films that are like, they're always sometimes to a fault injected with comedy, but this and Guardians are the ones that are like heavily injected with comedy. Like that's a part of their core purpose to being. And it just wasn't funnier.
I felt like this one was kind of tame.
The supporting cast had a lot of jokes, and they were never better than.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the supporting cast, but there was I think maybe one moment where I was like, "That's pretty funny." And the problem is I can't remember that moment. I think maybe it was the seagulls. I think because I love birds, but other than that,
there's a Tim Heidecker cameo for no reason.
It's not like he was being weird or funny. He was just being a, you know. He was just talking on a PA system. That's
he was
it.
Running a whale watching
talking
boat.
About whales.
Yeah.
It was just about like Alan Tudyk in Deadpool 2.
Yep.
He was there. He had a line.
Cool.
Bye.
The most rewarding thing about that would be if he talks about it on cinema. Like that would be the most rewarding thing about him appearing in this film. It's weird. I don't know why you do that, but sure. You know.
So spoiler alerts now, maybe.
Yeah? Okay. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
109.7 in the morning.
Okay, yeah, official spoiler wall here.
Stop listening if you don't want to be spoiled on Ant-Man and the Wasp
in the morning.
Hey,
Ant-Man
and the Wasp.
All right, so my number one problem with this movie. If you go into a Marvel movie thinking that any of the science is going to be realistic or accurate or make sense, then you're already fooling yourself. And I think I fooled myself a little bit.
Why did you fool yourself?
If you're at the beginning of the movie, and I think they even showed a little bit of this in the first movie, they, you know, Michael Douglas, when he was younger, was Ant-Man and his wife was the Wasp, and they go to disarm this like nuke or essentially, or this bomb that's in the air. And his wife goes.
This was in the previous movie.
Yeah, his wife goes into the bomb to destroy it by going quantum. But my problem with that is if you go quantum and you can move between particles, how are you destroying the bomb? You're just going, like, you should be so small.
I think it was on her way down.
Yeah, as they showcased it in this film, visually, in this film, she was not at quantum when she was disabling the bomb.
Why could she not go back up? It was, you can shrink, go back up.
I believe that explanation was offered in the first film.
Was it?
That it was like...
Her regulator was turned off, and once you get down to a certain size, like, it doesn't work properly anymore.
Could they not have just grown massive and then turned the missile, or just punched it really hard?
I mean, they could have probably done that.
Though, I mean, there's a lot of things that they just plain don't tell us about this. Like,
but
this,
also, it was a nuclear missile. And could they have gotten it far enough away in time?
Well, they don't just explode prematurely.
In this film, Lawrence Fishburne, who was, I guess, Goliath, was a Marvel character in a prior iteration, or like a call sign that's been used for Giant Man, essentially. He said that he worked with Hank, and he'd done some embiggening. It sounded like Hank specialized purely in shrinking, and the growth stuff wasn't necessarily... I mean, obviously, he grows and regrows things back and forth all the time. But it sounded like if you want to fill in the blanks for what the film doesn't implicitly state to you, they weren't in the business of getting big at that time when the bomb thing happened.
Mm-hmm. I do like the scientific aspect of if you grow giant, like, you're going to run out of oxygen real quick because your lungs are too big to handle the size of the particles. That I like. That's, I think, pretty accurate. I don't know how long that would last, but yeah, there's a point where if you're too big or too small,
but also, you can't breathe. What was with the surviving in the quantum realm? Or being able
to take
off...
Yeah, you
want
to jump right to there?
Or
yeah.
being able to take off his helmet in the quantum realm?
That confused me. There's not really any particles in the quantum realm you should... Now, are they hinting at that you just live forever there? Or that you don't need food or water?
You clearly age, as Michelle Pfeiffer, a.k.a. Janet Van Dyne,
her makeup didn't. She had quantum makeup.
She found edible quarks down there.
That's
okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing that they have not established in the films that I've been eagerly awaiting the whole time. So, when you shrink, you can find yourself in... entire worlds and universes so like alien they're beyond comprehension, and this has happened before where Janet disappeared for a while and she basically went on a fucking Conan adventure in a tiny world where everything was alien
and this
strange.
Was in a book.
Yeah, it's a comic thing,
and this is like the quantum, even past the quantum
in the microverse is what it, I mean it's the
whatever it's
in the
called.
In the cinematic universe it appears to be called
well,
the
quantum
realm.
Well,
this movie
they go beyond the quantum realm into like the infinite void, which is not a void, there's still stuff in there.
Well, he went beyond the void. I don't know. It basically, once you get down there and into the muck, it turns into complete science fantasy nonsense, which is my bag. I'm all about it. So when this film ends and Scott is left dangling in the atomic the quantum realm because his support staff has completely evaporated due to Thanos, I'm like, hell yeah, the third movie is going to be like Scott having a Conan adventure.
Which is a little disappointing because then that means he won't be in the next Avengers movie to help out in any way if he's stuck there. I feel like he's going to get out before that.
It is surprising that entire team... has been disabled.
It's
like,
just gone.
Yeah, they're. I mean, all in terms of, like, the next Infinity War film. Because, like, I mean, I thought the gimmick of those was everyone's going to be in it. No, for real. Seriously.
Well, Ant-Man's not dead. He's just trapped.
Right. I mean, but if they spend time getting him out of there, I feel like it's a waste of the adventures they could tell with him in that scenario, and a waste of time for a bigger story.
So he's going to eventually come out. And if, say, they fix the world, and he's just like, what happened there? You guys, no one got me out, and everybody's going to be fine.
Well, there's two ways they could just cop out of that whole situation, and one way is Luis could come looking for his van. And
is Luis
push
alive?
A button. Maybe. Yeah. There's like 50-50 chance
and
that he's
alive.
And that
could happen in the Avengers movie.
Sure.
Just like real quick.
Yeah. Oh, I found my van. Boop.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Oh.
And he's just covered in tardigrades. He's like,
right.
Oh.
Or he'll start fucking around with his suit and he'll just be like, boop, and be back.
Or he'll will it with his mind.
He came back before from the quantum realm.
I don't remember how that happened. I don't remember the first movie.
I think he fucked around with his belt.
Yep, it was MacGuffin, sheer force of will. It just kind of happened.
He used his brain, because in the quantum realm, your brain can do a lot of mysterious things.
Yeah, healing particles.
Like not having to eat.
That was...
Well,
I think they... When I was watching the film and they were talking about the healing particles they need to collect for their friend Ghost, well, I thought, okay, they're calling them healing particles, but surely they must really be something else. That's
some
just that's the cute
particle
name they've given them, because that's the function that they serve for them. But that's stupid. It's a stupid... Yeah. This isn't Harry Potter. The least you can do is pretend to be a little bit more scientific. But even though yes, everything is gloriously bullshit.
So there should be no oxygen in the quantum realm for you to live without a helmet.
There shouldn't be.
Well,
if you're aging, how are you eating and drinking? There's none of that.
I
told you, quarks.
You changed down
the
there,
bar?
Brandon.
Was
things
there a quarks
change
bar?
There might be.
There's a Deep Space Nine down
we
there.
We don't know.
I think...
Well, then time shouldn't be the same
quark
if you're aging.
You know, you're right. They totally could have had
and maybe a fan or someone can explain it to me how you don't need to eat or drink, but you can still age in the quantum realm.
Okay, I have a question.
In the phantom zone.
At what point did she say she didn't need to eat or drink?
She didn't. But what are you going to eat in the quantum universe?
I just told you they didn't show us that. But if they're going to do any kind of an adaptation of that, if the implications of the ending of the film means anything. Then,
didn't they show her like a sword, but it was like made out of her wings? Like, so she's been through some shit.
Yeah, exactly. They showed Janet looking an awful lot like she did in the comic books when she survived that whole Conan thing.
But I wonder why they'd even implicate that if they're never going to show it.
Because I think that's what the third movie is, with Scott.
But she's gone.
No, with Scott. Scott is going to get trapped there and is
like
going to have
his
own. I
already said all of this stuff, but you just have to angrily say it again.
Yeah. Well, I disagree with some of it. It's fine.
You disagree with
with the comic books in the movie. let's talk about some... Like, how did her makeup survive 30 years? I know you got to reapply that shit.
I mean, that's a nitpick with absolutely every single film.
Just, like, I mean, it was very colorful, so maybe she just scraped the ground. And
those were various muons that she was applying below her eyes.
Yes, that's right. Aesthetic muons.
So
exactly.
There were a few points in the movie that really bugged me for no reason, and you should
because it's Ant-Man and the Wasp.
You should really
it bugged
you. I meant that.
Read the thing that I omitted. It was the last point in the box.
The last point in the box. 30 years, no food, quantum makeup. We just talked about that.
I know.
But just reiterating it again. Thank you for tricking me. But okay, so you know the part when he shrinks the building for the first time and it's on wheels and he's like tilting it and dragging it?
Yeah.
All the shit in the lab is knocked over.
Yeah, I didn't agree with
it
that.
It is essentially an earthquake that has just shifted your building within a split second.
Well, I got
an
explanation for you here they didn't offer in the film. It's just it's gravity locked.
It's science. It's science magic.
It is science magic. What don't you understand about this?
If they had the technology, they could have used it for various weapons. The gravity lock shit? That would have been great.
And here's another thing that bothers me is that, you know, when they shrink down, they have all the power that they had when they were large.
Well,
correct?
They explain that in the first movie, yeah.
I know.
That was a given.
All right.
But when they're huge, they have more power? You would think when things were huge, they would still have like their same
weaker, actually.
Or they would, you know, be as strong as a 5 foot
right.
something human.
I think for consistency's sakes, when they shrink, they should be less powerful.
Well, that's like when she threw the Pez dispenser and it got huge. I was thinking like, oh, well, wouldn't that have like the mass and power of a regular Pez dispenser?
Oh, no. I remember the explanation now. They said the suit amplifies your powers when you shrink. They said that in the first movie. They said the suit amplifies the power when you shrink. When you're big, you don't need that as much because you're huge and you have a lot of mass.
I don't remember if they said that it was the suit that it was some...
I haven't
because
seen
of the
film
mass.
Since it was in
no,
theaters.
No, I clearly remember, and I don't clearly remember most things, so maybe I'm making it up, that there was a scene where they said the suit amplifies you even when you shrink, so you'll be like, you'll have normal strength.
I thought there was
tiny.
A science-y explanation, though, that you still have all of your mass.
There was, but it was regulated by the suit.
Okay.
But the jewels, where the fuck is in that belt? I don't know.
Okay.
The circuitry that always blows
the
up.
Jewels.
I thought there were jewels in the first movie. My mind is not working.
No, they're
the copper wires wrapped around those transistors or whatever. Those help.
Yeah, the very common looking circuitry that makes up that belt
that lets you shrink.
But it's imbued with PIM particles, folks. I mean, come on,
PIMP particles.
That's right, PIMP particles.
PIMP out that quantum.
And in the third movie, it's going to be infused with healing particles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the healing factor, the Ant-Man healing factor, that's everyone, I mean, a known ability of Ant-Man that they have yet to share with us.
I feel like in the third movie, it's going to be addressed that when they're stealing these healing particles, they're stealing the world's love, and they've doomed the entire... They're actually stealing the world's love.
Oh, yeah.
Which exists on the quantum realm, and everyone is just horrible to each other. So that's basically what's happened in our world.
That's perfect.
Did any of you watch Killjoys?
Oh, you mentioned that a long time ago, but no, the space sci-fi, like dark matter kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of like a live action Cowboy Bebop in more of a way than most other science fiction, because they're actual bounty hunters on like a small ship. But the reason I bring that up is because the main character in that played Ghost in this movie.
Oh.
And it was basically the same personality type.
Well, now I know what to expect when I watch that show, so yeah. I'll be ready for it.
Yeah, so if you want to see more of her, check out Killjoys. It's a pretty good show.
Yeah, you've talked it up quite a bit in the past. Yeah. Is it still on? Did it die?
No, it's still on, because the Sci-Fi Channel gave all of Dark Matter's funding to Killjoys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Dark Matter got killed so that Killjoys may live on, and they killed the wrong show.
Yeah, that sucks.
That being said, they're both good. Dark Matter was just better.
Sorry, I'm looking up the size of tardigrades, and I'm just like, I don't think they'd exist in the quantum realm. You can see them with a microscope. Maybe an electron microscope, but I don't think they would exist in the quantum realm.
They weren't in the quantum realm.
They weren't that small yet.
Oh, it looked like they were in the quantum.
It was on the...
No!
It was on
Hank got stuck on his way down.
Well, they said he had to go to the quantum realm and then go beyond it.
He wasn't to the quantum realm.
See, I thought he got stuck in the quantum realm and then just trying to get beyond it.
No, there's a quantum void that he hadn't made it to yet because he wasn't small enough, because he was tardigrade sized.
Guys, this hurts my brain. Where does string theory come into play in this bore?
Well, you gotta go to the quantum realm and you gotta get quantum entangled with the psyche of one human individual in the entire infinite mass that is. I mean, if we're gonna argue the quote unquote science of this film, let's talk about identifying the psychic presence of a single individual within a universe scale. Like, you know,
can someone explain to me, like, yeah, how did that?
Well, Brandon, I think you explained it yourself. Actually, it's because that's where love is.
Yeah, love, the power. All these movies all boil down to love and convenience. How convenient is it when you're talking about quantum entanglement, something not commonly spoken about, then you walk into a classroom and the teacher who is a quantum, you know, mechanics teacher or whatever, it just happens to be talking about the one thing they need or were discussing moments before.
Well, that's, would you prefer he talked directly to the camera and told you about it, or would you prefer it had the illusion of being in the scene?
I just feel like he should just been talking about something else. Hey, we need to talk to you about quantum entanglement. Instead of, he was already talking about it as soon as they walked in.
Well, here's what you want. You want the film starts.
I want good writing.
And you have Sam Jackson's there, and he says,
hold on to your butts.
Hi, I'm Agent Nick Fury, and I want to provide you with a little bit of a dossier so you can understand what's about to happen. And then it just every couple minutes, the page turns. He just reaches in and turns the page, and you read more about all the quote unquote
science.
And that's
a 2-hour movie.
And then he's like, and then he closes it. He's like, all right, you've been debriefed. Let's watch the film now. And
I would love that. It's like a before movie scene that they can start, and then there's the after credit scenes. There's no before movie scenes yet.
I mean, granted, if they did that, if they took your time,
you'd think it was a preview trailer, but it's actually a before movie scene relevant. They would fuck with you. You'd then have to go watch the trailers and not be late.
If anyone ever made the point of like of having a pre-film briefing on like science so you could understand what's happening, Then the shit happening in that movie better be fucking accurate.
I just meant like in general for a Marvel movie, just because they have so many scenes now. Just have a pre-movie scene too.
Now I want a scientifically accurate Ant-Man music video on YouTube.
Music video?
Yeah. Have you ever seen the scientifically accurate like DuckTales?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I really take issue with that series. I feel like that's like it's not scientifically accurate. It's just a bunch of animal facts. Like, it's not like if you're talking
like
about
ducks don't have nipples.
If you're talking about mutant turtles, like, yeah, regular turtles have Very interesting penises that are proportionately different from the size of their bodies and kind of
undulate.
We always
end up talking about penises here.
Well, this is the series. This is the thing. But like, it's just spitting out animal facts. Like, it's not scientifically accurate because they're mutant turtles. They're combined with human DNA. We don't know what their dicks look like. That's for your imagination. Don't take that away from anybody. That's your imagination.
Or do you think an ant is intelligent enough to survive away from a colony or learn to play Rock Band?
I think they could. Yeah.
All right.
I think they could be programmed.
Well, that's settled.
I mean, that's what she said. She said he was programmed to do these things.
How do you program something that's not mechanical in nature?
How do you shrink down to the quantum realm?
I mean, that's just future science we haven't discovered yet.
I think training an ant doesn't seem quite as wacky.
No, and considering that we can attach like microchips to cockroach brains and actually remote control them, I think that that's perfectly reasonable.
Okay, I just want to say Fifth Element started that trend. Or toys. Which one did it first? Toys? Anyway,
with
bugs? Toys, never mind.
With bugs?
Yeah.
It wasn't in either.
Yeah, toys?
With bugs.
It was a cockroach.
No.
Am I thinking of Fifth Element?
Fifth Element also kicked off your fetish for blue aliens.
It was the Fifth Element. There was a cockroach with a little antenna on it, and then they crushed
oh,
it.
Oh, that's true. That wasn't, yeah.
I'm just saying, that was years ago. And then someone was like, at a research lab in Roswell, was like, let's do this.
I got
and
news
they did
for you.
It.
That's been a science fiction thing for a very long time. But
I don't know. Fifth Element did it first.
But perhaps first in cinema, perhaps.
What were we talking about, Ant-Man and the Wasp?
I don't know. But in general, I mean, we already shared our reviews. Now we're just...
How did Michelle Pfeiffer... know that 30 years had passed? If you're stuck in the quantum realm, do you really know anything about time passing?
No, she shouldn't have known anything. Any clue how to operate the computer that she hijacked Paul Rudd's body to fuck with.
My theory...
She got into his brain.
My theory is in the first movie when she got into his brain, even though they didn't show that, because they made it up for the second, she then read his mind and knew what year it was. And so she's like, oh shit, 30 years has passed. I don't have a mirror.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's what I just basically said.
Yeah. Yeah,
but how
you went ahead and implied the rest, but yeah.
Thank you. But how did she take over his body?
The power of love.
Quantum
is a curious
realm.
Thing.
You're right.
Quantum realm.
Quantum science.
Entanglement.
Quantum entanglement.
I mean, I don't love nitpicking. So hopefully
I know they're not it's like, who cares? It's a Marvel movie. But like, sometimes you sit and think about something after the fact and you're like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Like when you write it in a room.
These are fun questions to ask, but they're not problems with
wouldn't
the movie.
You think about it more as a writer, like, oh, I just wrote this, but what the fuck? I should look something up a little bit.
I mean, this happens with Lightning Dogs all the time. Like, I've been reading, like, how do radio transmissions actually work?
How would
like,
a dog actually hold this sniper rifle?
Can I have a creature that both sends and receives radio signals biologically? How does that work? What language would I use to describe that? Can I fabricate that then electronically?
But that exists in a whole different universe.
I mean,
maybe
you,
physics is different.
You could
than
just
universe.
Explain all of that with they have a metal filling.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. First, that's my inclination. I'm just describing my process. My first inclination as a writer is to try to understand something from a legitimate technical level after I ask a preposterous question. Ask a preposterous question, try to find a decent answer, and if I can't, hopefully the modest research that I've done will enable me to then create something that is, quote-unquote, good enough. So, you know, I think Ant-Man was good enough, and maybe someday...
I have some other questions. I just...
Oh, yeah.
Reading my napkin. I finally figured out subatomic how ship work. Okay, so there's a scene where they shrink down in the ship. You know,
yeah.
Michael Douglas at
yeah.
near the end. Would that ship still be functional if the particles are... I mean, when they shrink it so small, would it even be able to move through nothingness without any... Like, how could fuel be ignited?
Let me answer that question with another question. And that question is... When you shrink down a person to be that small, wouldn't they just die?
Yeah. Well, supposedly they shrink the oxygen molecule so they could at least breathe in that bubble.
Okay,
apply that same
logic to the fucking machine.
I can't, because what is it traveling through? How is it propelling? There's no, like, air?
Space!
Yeah, it's like space, Brandon.
All right. I mean, I guess.
Well, I mean, okay, think about it. If you shrink down small enough so that air molecules are like way larger than you and they don't really affect you and you can fly between them, what's between them? Space. If you go out into actual outer space, air molecules are so far apart.
Yeah.
But they're there. But it's just space.
Wouldn't there be no gravity that in the quantum world? Wouldn't they be floating around?
Or huge amounts of gravity.
Yeah, there was probably no gravity until there was gravity.
Do you think when these sentient beings shrunk down, the tiny universe was like, and then gravity happened, and they like caused the gravity by being there. Because they have enough mass, which is technically larger than everything they're in. Their mass brings such a small amount of gravity that it's huge in that tiny quantum world.
Well, the way that gravity works is that you're attracted to whatever the largest thing is nearby.
You're thinking of relationships, Boar.
If, say, the largest thing nearby was an air molecule, you might be land like right on the nucleus of that. Because that's the largest thing around, you know.
Saying
and then you would have a gravitational pull towards that, perhaps. I don't know. I mean, because science.
We may never know how gravity works.
Well,
I don't know why I wrote "You gave her wings?" Question mark. Why did I write that?
That is a line in the film.
I didn't write it because it was a stupid line. I wrote it because it was something about it that bothered me. I don't know what it is, and we will never be able to figure that out. So
great,
guys. I've been arrested before. And
okay.
Let me tell you, when you get arrested, the cops make you take your jackets off. They make you take your shoes off. They make you take your socks off.
They make you take your underwear off, and you have to bend over, and you have to cough.
Sometimes.
Because then stuff comes out of your butt.
Sometimes they strip search you. So when the FBI comes knocking at your door and you're a wanted criminal, I don't think they put you in a room together with other criminals, unattended, with all your clothes still on, with things in your shoes. That happened in the movie. I'm just saying. I'm pointing that out. It bothered me. The FBI captured Michael Douglas and his daughter, and she just had shit in her boots to escape. I'm like, they would have checked her boots.
Yeah.
Yep. No, yeah.
We're not. Right. No one's disagreeing. I'm just saying. It just bothered me.
But hey, there were two birds. There was a seagull and a pigeon.
Oh,
Brandon.
I mean, technically, there was more than two if you're counting the physical amount. But
you're
right. The pigeons were great. I loved it.
There were at least seven birds.
I wanted the spinoff of those two pigeons.
Brandon, you know a lot about birds, so I want to direct this question directly at you.
Uh-oh.
Would seagulls go out of their way to eat a flying ant?
Let me pose this question to you.
Okay.
Yes. No, a seagull will fucking eat anything. They're like the trash monsters of the beach.
I know they will eat anything, but do they typically fly around like, oh, I'm going to look for an ant? If they're at Fisherman's Wharf in fucking San Francisco, are they going to be out of their way to eat flying ants, or are they going to be focused on
the French fries and the funnel cake
exactly,
and whatever the fuck
exactly.
people buy on a beach? Here's the thing. I've seen birds, giant birds, go after mosquitoes. And I've seen them go after things I can't see because they're tiny. A seagull, if it somehow was focusing on an ant and it saw it, it could hone in and eat it. They can. They have really good eyes. And they eat any fucking thing. You throw a piece of plastic at it, it'll eat it. They're dumb.
I told him not to go down to that beach. Or the seagull's going to get you.
Yeah, that's fair. That's true.
Poking a coconut. Not
too. And they did.
They did.
And they did.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Nerdy Show. Let me back up, though. Let me back up before I say goodbye, fully goodbye to you. Let me tell you about how you should rate and review this series on iTunes or Podchaser. If you like this review, let us know. We'll do more reviews. That could be a focus of ours. We just like hanging out and talking. You know that. We've been doing this for almost 10 years. So if you'd like to support us, we could certainly use your help. Head to patreon.com/nerdyshow or nerdyshow.com/support if you want to leave a one-time donation. Either way, you get a bunch of perks. Be sure to check out our assorted websites to see what those perks are and why you might want them. And let me tell you that even a dollar makes a huge difference, and you do get all kinds of stuff, including early access to episodes at a dollar. That's a thing for most of the entire network.
And free tickets to Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, you'll be entered into a imaginary raffle where that could happen. But, you know.
I will mail you a handmade ticket that I forged myself.
On a napkin.
Yeah, I'm going to draw a QR code for you that you can scan at any Regal Cinemas.
You're going to draw a QR code.
I've seen one before. It's just a square with some boxes. I can draw one.
Yeah. I think
okay.
you could.
Enter to win. Leave a rating or review on leave a review on iTunes and say that you're entering into Brandon's ticket challenge and you're going to leave a 5-star review and tell us something about the show, and then perhaps Brandon will mail you
a napkin.
A napkin.
Yeah, I'll mail you a napkin
with a hand drawn code.
a hand-drawn QR code, which will work.
And if you'd like to buy physical or virtual media, like Marvel movie films for theaters, but for television, go to Amazon, but do it through our links at nerdyshow.com/Amazon. Anything you buy there gives back to us. It's a great way to help us out when, you know, buying stuff that you normally buy at exactly the price you'd normally pay for it.
But Cap, if I want to watch a streaming show, like, yeah, I don't know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Amazon, mm-hmm, and I have to buy a season, can I also purchase that through the Nerdy Show link?
I believe you can purchase your Amazon Prime account or like start it through our links. It's a bit more difficult, but you could, if you say want to,
like, I
want
to buy this one episode of a show.
Oh yeah, if it's a virtual show, you can, yeah, you can for sure do that.
Okay.
I don't know how much it gives us, but you can do it. It can be done.
Fraction of a penny.
Fraction of a penny. But hey, it's a fraction of a penny we didn't have before. So thanks in advance. And we'll see you next time on Nerdy Show.
Bye, I'm Brandon.